Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's the lionest man you ever heard, anyway. You there?
This is a man's world, but it would be nothing without a woman or a girl. You see, man made the car to take us over the road. Man made the train to carry the heavy load.
Hang up.
Man made the electric
light
to take us out of the dark.
Okay, 1 minute. Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Man made the boat for the water, like Noah made the ark. This is a man. Not a woman on earth. Man thinks about a little bit of baby girl and a baby boy.
I just walked in here, so I don't know what the heck's going on.
Maybe you have to redial it, you reckon?
Let me see. Let me look at this thing. Weird. When I walked in the house, it must have done something. Since it's not on mute, it's on the right thing. I don't see nothing on this line thing here. Let me just step back outside and see if it'll come on again. I don't know why it would drop off. Because I heard it say your show will start in 1 minute. You still there, Dorothy?
Yeah, you think we made it hit the wrong button or something?
No, anybody hit no wrong button. Do me a favor, hang up and then call in to the show on your own line.
Okay.
Let's see what we can do here. Yeah. Okay. Okay. What did it say?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Well,
is this Dorothy?
This is Dorothy.
Okay.
We've had having a time getting in, but we can go ahead on and talk.
Okay.
Because we live on the radio. So
okay.
Can you tell us, this is what our subject is supposed to be today. We're going to be talking about the election. What do you think about Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and Trump? And Ms. Hattie's theme was today, are you going to exercise your vote? What do you think about them? What
you
do
you
think?
Me, Dorothy?
Yeah. I'm asking you, what is your take on it?
I think one of the things that I'll summarize it with all three of them in the same place is that one of the things that I've noticed in struggling as an indigenous man in this land is that it's a distraction. Not many or we get handed out through our government and this system called the the president. We get handed down crumbs for something that truly belongs to the people. So, yes, I'm going to exercise my right to vote. Do I trust or believe in the system? Yes and no, because the bottom line, I know voting is a powerful process for us to get the right people in there. However, the right people, the definition of the right people is not just who goes and runs and we vote for them. The right people is the people that we train ourselves, our family, and our extended family to be a part of that process, because somehow in the midst of everything that we do, very little gets to the people that really need it. And everything is to me is all the benefits and things that are needed keep channeling upwards to the people who already got everything they need. It doesn't surprise me that health and education is always the first two things that are cut in a budget, and those are the lifeline and the blood source of our existence. But yet we continually sit back patient and go through a voting process and go through this over and over and over and over and be happy when we get a minimum wage raise. I'm not interested in the minimum wage. I'm interested in owning. I'm interested in being an owner and being able to do something other than ask somebody.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. Because when they cut the education system, that means they cut it into your livelihood.
Well, yes, ma'am. And it also is, to me, a connection that we've allowed them to be our surrogate parents, because we wait for them for everything, for food, clothing, and shelter. And they're not doing us no justice on none of them, So I'm tired of asking them for anything. So until we grow up economically, spiritually, and politically and stop asking somebody for something that, we already own, we're going to continue to suffer. And Stevie Wonder said it best for me in his song. When you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. And we truly don't understand laws or the political scheme that they play, because when we think we understand the political scheme, they change the rules, the playing field, and anything else. And one thing that pretty much it knocked on my brain like a door when Bernie Sanders said, he said the Wall Street executives got fined $200 billion and not one of them went to prison or jail. So, okay, $200 billion. If, when we look at that figure, they had to do something really, really bad to get fined $200 billion. That's a lot of money. But not yet. One of them went to jail. But you could put a young African-American male and a young African-American female, a young Latino male, a young Latino female, or any people of color in prison for a low-level, nonviolent offense, you know, crime.
Yeah, because you know what?
Give
since you said
25 to life.
You're absolutely correct, because a black woman the other day stole three 7 bags of candy, 8 bags of candy from a store, and she was high on drugs when she did it. And it came out to $47 and some cents. Do you not know that she had stole once before? Do you know they're trying to get that lady a felony for that? They
wow.
is charging her a felony, and this is why they said they're going to charge her as a felony, because she had just stole something a month ago.
But no, but read between the lines, Dorothy, because what they're saying in essence is we need to feed this system of private prisons. And so any chance we get, we're going to say whatever we got to say, because if we don't have prisoners, we lose our contract with these private prisons. If they don't have a certain amount of people, they lose money.
Yeah, that's true. You absolutely correct now. You absolutely correct.
Yes, ma'am.
And this is what they're doing. And also our second talk we were going to talk about today, over in the foreign countries, over there in Saudi Arabia, they have a law on the books. This 8-year-old little girl, this man picked her out as his wife from a baby. When the little girl turned 8 years old, the man, the 40-year-old man, and it's legal, he married her. And he married her, and when he had intercourse with her on the wedding night, she hemorrhaged so bad from behind this. This child died. But yet, United States is going over there fighting for them, trying to protect them, and here they are, can't even protect kids. United States won't even open their mouth to this man raping this child. 8 years old, and this child died. But yet, we over there helping them fight for a country where little girls ain't even free. What kind of mess is that?
The irony is, where was the child's parents?
No, it's
Why
legal.
I already knew that, Dorothy. I seen it on TV myself. Men in line with the little bitty girls, you know.
And the parents go along with it.
But again, you know, everything we do is a learned behavior. And we so behind on the national family that the global family is suffering. Now, you talking about that. Now, let me tell you, have you heard of Qatar?
I heard of Qatar. I heard of that name.
Qatar is the richest island in the world. Not one Qatarian citizen, if you born in Qatar, you don't have to work. That's how wealthy they are. Everybody who works in Qatar comes from a third world country. They buy what we would call in this country employees, but what, if you look between and read between the lines, they bind slaves. And there's, they basically got busted. They bought
the
people.
Uh-oh, hold up. We're getting a lot of rattling of paper, and I'm just getting back on here. So we can hear it. Can't hardly hear what James is saying.
How you doing, big sis?
Well, hey, so, how's everybody? Go on with that Qatar deal.
Yeah, so it was on what's his name? Ken Gumbel's Real Sports twice. The first time, the interviewer showed the men that they go pick up. They pick them up from Nepal and Pakistan, a lot of the third world countries where families are only making $200 a year and barely surviving. And these men are lining up, in numbers to go to this place. And they even know that the only way you can come back, you don't have permission to leave there except in a red casket. And it's just wood that they paint red. It ain't nothing fancy. It's a really raggedy, just a red box that's painted. Your family can come pick you up at the airport. That's the only way you get to leave there. It gets up to 116 degrees there. You can look at it online. It's Qatar. It's so bad that the third time I heard about it coming on TV, country name there, they called themselves Qatar instead of Qatar, you know, because they know they've been exposed in the media. So they got the media saying Qatar instead of Qatar. So, but this interviewer, an African-American man, was talking to one of the dignitaries, sheik or whatever he was, you know, dressed from head to toe. And so he asked him, well, how are the workers living? Because they're building 12 huge, bigger than football stadiums for the FIFA World Cup. They're so wealthy, it looked like they got some, it's something that looked like a spaceship. They call it a hovercraft that hovers because it gets so hot. It hovers over the whole stadium. It's an air conditioning unit. That's what it is, basically. That's going to hover over the stadium to keep the people cool. So anyway, the reporter asked the guy, how are the workers? And he said, oh, man, they're doing okay. They doing all right. They, live in pretty good places. He said, you can go see for yourself. And the brother said, I already went and seen him. I've already interviewed him. And the guy's face looked like it turned to stone. And he told the reporter, this interview is over. And if you would see the condition these people are living in, they don't even have running water. And they fight for a bucket to wash up in the morning, a bucket just with water. Flies. It looked like it's nasty. The kitchen, oh my goodness. Flies everywhere, bed bugs, and it's probably 10 to 15 men in each compound. It's a mind blower because to have physical slavery in 2016 and nobody's saying nothing, especially this so-called American government who is supposed to be big brother and super, super army and all this and the number one power in the world, whatever. And you asking me about politicians, I say scrap them all and start over. But I am going to exercise, and that was your original question, Ms. Dunning, am I going to exercise my right to vote? Yes, ma'am, I always will. And I yield. And greetings, family. This is James.
Greetings.
Yes.
even though I may not agree
with a lot of things they saying, but I am gonna exercise to vote. Because
yes,
I don't want to be the one of the ones complaining and not doing anything. So if you don't exercise your right to vote, I don't think you have anything to complain about. And a lot of people say, well, voting ain't going to do no good. Voting ain't going to do no good. But I still want to exercise my rights. And I think as America's citizens, we should. Because Donald Trump has got all these people, crooked and hateful people coming out to vote for him they said they ain't seen this type of excitement in years. They said the people are coming out in groves to vote for Donald Trump.
Really?
So if we, yes, it's been all on the news. They said they
They said CBS wanted to tell them this was really good. CBS did.
Well, they said they ain't never saw the amount of people coming out in the Republican Party. They ain't had this much excitement in the people coming out in record number. And the Democratic Party is not coming out.
Yeah.
So I think we should exercise our gift. We cannot sit around and complain about
I don't know that it's going to make any difference, though. That's the problem.
But what I'm saying.
Maybe locally, but not nationally.
I'd rather take the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
Well, either way it goes, I'd rather take the lesser of two evils. Take the lesser of two evils. So I think we should exercise our gift. If you ain't exercising your rightful rights, voting rights, you don't have nothing to complain about. What can you complain about when you won't do anything? We know Hillary ain't going to do everything she says she's going to do. We know Trump ain't going to do Trump telling what he's going to do. So we already know what the outcome's going to be. I'd rather take the lesser two evils. And that's what we got to do.
Yeah. Well, I
don't you think I'm right, Miss Hattie? A woman, do you tell me that we should not do nothing? Answer that question. Do you think
we should not
do nothing?
I think our time would be better spent trying to find out how to do some things around self-sufficiency and that sort of thing, because nationally it's not going to do. I think locally there are some things that happen, and if you do it locally, yeah. Otherwise, I don't see the national scene, international scene, that being anything any different.
Good evening.
Well, hi there, Brother Brown. What do you think?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, you know, let me just share something with Sister Donna, because I know some things that, you know, she may not have a good take on in various avenues. But let me just share this with you from self-experience.
Well, it's just her take, though, Brother Brown. It's not as bad that she don't have a good take. She has her take.
Now, what I mean by that is that a lot of times people, we haven't been explained how the political arena works. What we see on TV and what we read sometimes in the news media is not the element of how the true political system works in America. One of our problems as Africans in America is nobody educates us. We're the most, Carnegie Wilson taught us that years ago. We're the most miseducated people in this country with college degrees, because we don't know how this country operates. And when we're trying to teach one another how this country operates, And I heard her talk about the lesser of two evils. And what some people don't understand, there is no difference between Democrats and Republicans.
That's true.
The Democrats that we see today were the Republicans of yesterday. The Republicans that we see today are the Democrats of yesterday. These white people can switch parties at any given time. Okay? We don't have a party to switch to. That ought to put something in our minds that the political system in the political arena was never geared for African people to win in America. So instead of getting upset over what Trump say, instead of not trying to rally behind Hillary say, let's organize our own stuff and forget about that. I'm not saying not to go to the polls. You have a right to vote. But don't look for no miracles because you voted. Don't look for anybody because you voted to walk on water on your behalf.
Oh.
I've been voting ever since I was 18 years old when they first organized 18 year olds to vote. And I'm 62 years old. I've been voting for 44 years. I have never voted for a presidential candidate. No.
And that's your right, because some people would say you're throwing away your vote when you don't vote for one or the other.
Okay, it's
as bad as not voting at all. And that's what I wanted to ask you, Brother Brown. Are you suggesting that we don't vote at all?
No. I'm saying you utilize your own. Let me tell you something. The year that Ronald Reagan won, okay, how many black people voted against Ronald Reagan?
I don't know.
A whole lot of them. Did that stop
right.
Ronald Reagan from running? Did that stop Ronald Reagan from winning two elections?
Right.
Did that stop Richard Nixon from winning two elections? No, it didn't.
Well,
it just stopped
one
Ronald
of the things my teacher taught me, Brother Brown, you know, regardless of what we think about the voting process, it's a system that's here. And if we don't use it, it's just as bad as giving the enemy or the system the tools to do whatever they want to do. Because if you don't care and you ain't involved, you don't have a clue. And the only way we're going to understand anything is you have to be involved, first of all, to acknowledge it. And so what I'm saying, and I said this, I don't know if you was on the phone. This is James in Spokane. I say this, and I mean this, is the bottom line is, you know, we have responsibility and accountability, and I say scrap them all. However, you know, we don't have that luxury right now. And what I mean by that is we need to learn how to get our own children and our own peers and our own elders put in the position somebody that we know is in our own best interest. And we don't have that right now.
What I'm trying to explain is that how can you put African people in a system created by white supremacists and racists?
So you telling me, Thurgood Marshall,
I listen to you. Now just listen and hear me out. Just listen and hear me out. The same way I listened to you and I didn't cut across you, let me say this. We went to the polls and put an African-American president, as we thought, into the White House. We cried. We shed tears. We thought our day had come. And what happened? Not a damn thing happened. We had more people manipulated, killed in the street, our women murdered and maimed. And what has this man said or did from a political or standpoint of any kind to acknowledge the fact of how many black women in America in the last 8 years have been raped, killed, murdered by police officers, and nobody has ever went to a jail cell? Nobody. Sandra Bland was killed A couple of more young ladies was killed. A minor black woman was killed. This man has not had any accountability to anybody.
So let me ask you a question, Brother Brown. The shoes was on the other foot. You was a president of the United States of America. Are you going to go to every individual sister that was killed or murdered by police or whatever? I doubt it.
Because, again, you've got an agenda.
You don't. I mean, it's always easy for us to criticize or suggest something about somebody else when we have no clue what they're going through, including our fathers. And that's why I love my father too. Now, I listen to you. So my question to you was, so you telling me that Brother Thurgood Marshall made no difference as a Chief Justice in the Supreme Court?
No, he didn't. Because Thurgood Marshall was an undercover spy for the federal government.
Okay, I hear you.
Look it up on the internet. Look it up on the internet.
I don't believe everything I read on the internet.
Just look it up, brother. You don't have to believe everything you read.
It's not about me believing it. I'm living this life, brother, and I'm experiencing life and living, and
right.
I look for the good things. And President Obama have done some good things. And I'm still
like
proud to be an African American in this time.
Name me one. I don't need to.
For what?
I just already convinced you, it's
not that important, bro. If you feel like you feel, I'm not trying to convert or convince you to feel a different way. I asked you to name one. You anyway.
Okay, have a nice day.
Hey, Brother Brown, I'd like to make a statement also. A lot of people seem to think, because I'm not going to vote for the president either, man. I don't care one way or the other. But a lot of people seem to think that if you refuse to vote, then somehow you're avoiding a great choice you have, when in actuality there is no choice. Just because you don't vote for a Democrat, that doesn't necessarily mean whoever's on the other side is going to get in is going to do good. That's the assumption. Well, if you didn't vote, it's people like you that... No, that's not true. There's an assumption that if you vote, you do have one of two ways of going. One way is going to help you and one is going to hinder you. That's not necessarily true. It's as simple as that. Our people have no choice because they cannot vote Republican. They can't vote Republican, so we only have one choice. And that's what the problem is. People don't seem to understand this. Even one of these parties, they're Tweedledee and Tweedledum. There's no difference. It's as simple as that. But people seem to think that, well, you didn't vote. You're the reason why things like this. No, I didn't vote. You're the reason why things are. Since I didn't vote for none of these people that are messing everything up, don't put it on me. You voted for them, so you're the reason. And that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, let's take it for face value. When they gave the black man the vote, they only gave him the vote as a concession. Everything that they have given African people, have they not come back and taken away through the legal channels of a system that has never worked for us? Look at the man that just died on the Supreme Court, one of the most racist, obnoxious Ku Klux Klansmen that ever had on the roll. He was worse than Justice Taney. Taylor was the one that stood over the Dred Scott decision. Anton Scalia, whatever his name is, what he said was something worse than what George Wallace said back in the 60s. He said that African American children do not need to go to first class schools. They need to be educated in a second class tier education system. Now, this is the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Now, if any African American politician, if Thurgood Marshall had said it, let's say for instance, if he had said it openly and publicly, he would have been gotten off the Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas been up there, but we already know what he is, but he's been up there silent, buck dancing to white folk for over 20 years. So we have to look at a stacked deck. It's just like a card player. that's a card shot. If I'm a professional gambler and I'm going in a house with people that don't know how to play cards, then I'm going to stack the decks against them, and 9 times out of 10, I'm going to win. I'm not going to try to win all the hands, because if I win all the hands, they ain't going to play no more. And that's where we are as African Americans. If they sit back and just totally wipe us out, then the little bit of use that they have for us, they will have no more. So they have to string us along continuously in order to make us think that we're at least playing the game. I mean, come on, people. We've been going through this for 500 years.
A lot, because we don't want to put a lot of crazy mileage on it. And it's still within the realm of the mileage that they recommended. That's why we're going to wait a little while, because it's been in the garage, and usually when we go on a long trip, we'll take it. We don't drive around town and go to the cleaners, get our clothes in it. We didn't buy it for that purpose. So it's still within the
as Sister Hattie said earlier, we seriously need to think about instituting local organizing units, okay, because we have more power at a local level.
Yes,
we don't have no control over national politics because we can't control that. It was never meant for the populace ever control national politics.
Scheduled maintenance is it now? It's like 60,000 miles or something like that.
I couldn't understand what you say.
Well, I got a question. You said we can control local politics?
Yeah, if I live in a city where I'm able to control the politics of my area, I have a better chance of doing something on a local level, because guess what? If I live in a certain vicinity, the people that live in the vicinity that look like me have to come to me. Okay? Now, what I did years ago was tell people about precinct votes. If I live in some of our people who are upper middle class, they live in predominantly white precincts. Okay, so whether I vote Republican or Democrat, if I live in a predominantly white precinct, and I vote Democratic, and the Republican vote carries that precinct, no, my vote do not count. It's just simple arithmetic. That's all it is.
Where you live, Brother Brown? What state you live in?
I live in the state of Maryland.
Okay. And are we controlling the politics in the local in Maryland?
To some degree, yeah. In large metropolitan, I live in the country. But I have a voice.
Okay.
But I have a voice in the parish that I live in, because I don't participate in the political arena. I have organized black people outside of that arena.
Yes, sir. Then if you don't participate in that political arena, how you know Brother Barack Obama didn't do anything?
What you mean? What did you say, man?
You made a comment that Barack Obama hasn't done anything since
right.
he's been the president for
right.
8 years.
Right.
And I said, but you made a comment that you don't participate in a political arena. I'm asking, if that's the case, how you know he haven't done that?
Because I can read.
Okay. I hear you.
Now we think that the health care.
Go ahead.
We think that the health care initiative that he did by making sure that people had health care was one of the best things that was done to America. But have we looked at the bigger picture? Who stood to profit financially from making sure that everybody had health care? The insurance company. There's not one state that didn't have insured people get their insurance through social initiatives. These were insurance companies that went to these states and said, okay, y'all have to have health care. So what happened was that once this initiative was put on the table, the insurance companies made it available for everybody to have health care. So the premiums would be paid. Sure, everybody had health care, but the premiums still had to be paid. Somebody had to pay for health care. So it went, the money still was reciprocated back into the hands of the people that own the insurance car.
Mm. Okay.
Okay, and I'm not saying that it was bad. I'm just saying that that was one of the only things that I see in his tenure of 8 years as president that actually had a benefit to the black community. But the bottom line was that it still profited white businesses. There was an excerpt today on the news in reference to something that Hillary Clinton said about black businesses. And we have sometimes, you know, we have to really, really pay attention to what people say, and guess as much as we pay attention to what they do. And
more of what they have than what they say, because they say a lot of things.
I pay attention to both of them, because what she said initially was the question was asked about black women. They said in the last 8 years or 10 years, more black females have opened up businesses, and that there hasn't been a degree of money. Now, when we talk about African-American females, we're not talking about Latinos, Chinese, Polish workers, Russians. We're talking about African people. Okay? She switched the conversation. She's good at words. I got to give her credit. She's a hell of a con artist. Donald Trump ain't got nothing on her. She switched the word. She switched the words real swift. She said, one of the things that I'm going to do, and this went way over the people's head, she said, one of the things that I'm going to do if I become president is I'm going to make sure that there be more diversity and conversation in regards to minority businesses. Now, what you did right then went over most black people's head, because guess what? You're not the only person who's classified as minority. White women,
right.
White women have more power as a minority in this country than we do. All you do, look up old SBA records from 1975 to 1990, and see how many white women have piggybacked on small business loans for their husbands. That's right. And high Mexican workers.
I can look out my front door and see it. Well, I hear you.
Well, yeah, that's the oldest trick around. Well, we've got 1 minute left, and all I want to know is, are you going to go to your precinct caucuses tonight on Super Tuesday?
Well, I was going to have until in April.
Okay.
Yeah,
do you have precinct caucuses out there in Washington State, Brother James?